Jesus' name, pray.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We give you thanks for another opportunity, Lord, to meet again remotely. Lord, pray for tonight that you will deliver to us the blessing that you already have planned for every soul, for everyone who is connected. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts, enlarge our hearts, Lord, tune it and make it, Lord, open Lord, to hear you, to hear your voice, the voice of your spirit. Lord, you will bring help, you speak to our depths. Let understanding be open. Lord, I pray the heart that's needed, Lord, to receive counsel, Father, from you. Pray that you will give grant it to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, the grace of God that makes the counsel to stick and to stay, Father, to be planted within us. Oh God, that it will grow, Lord, into a great tree that will bring forth the
Yes.
right fruit. Father, thank you tonight for utterance, for grace, wisdom,
Yes.
that you guide us, guide our conversation tonight. And Lord, let it bring about the help which you want to give to us. Thank you, our Lord, Lord Jesus. Help us, teach us, Lord, to love you more, to hallow you more, to reverence you more. Give us more of a heart, Lord, of meekness, brokenness before you. Make us more hungry, more thirsty for you. Desire you more and more. We ask, Lord, that you become even more real to us through your knowledge. As we learn you, move us beyond the letters, beyond the words, Lord. Take us beyond the classroom, God. Move us into the place of practice in the spirit, Lord, to have real encounters with the truth. Thank you, Father, for this season of encounter. Thank you for hearts which you're already bringing into that place, into that zone. Thank you for those who, Lord, you still have breakthroughs lined up for those who you're still wanting to push further, oh God, into the spirit and establish, Lord, in place of reality, tangibility of your person, of your presence, of your life, of your truth, of your grace. Lord, I pray let every meeting, including this one, oh God, let it be an installment, oh God, Lord, in the heaving up of such encounter, such breakthroughs for every one of us. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise. So be exalted tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good evening to everybody. God bless you. Thanks for joining Life Class. And well, I think we had a break for some time. I don't know how many weeks now, but we thank God for helping us through the book we've been using for the last 2 or 3 years or so. Thank God for everything that He supplied to us through that book. And I pray that everyone will be established in all of those things that we have learned in Jesus' name. By God's grace, we'll be starting. I think I mentioned that over the weekend. I will be starting a new topic. The thing the first manual for it was sent out this evening. It's about the body of Christ. So, this first manual doesn't exhaust. It's just the first part of it. So there are more things that we'll look at by God's grace about the body of Christ. The Lord will help us to receive everything that we ought to get from it. But so by God's grace, I believe we will start that class, that subject, by next week, by God's grace. But today I just want to see if we can discuss a little bit about some things. So I think over the weekend we had, on Saturday, we had family meeting here in Ottawa. And we took some questions. It ended up being more of a conversation around submission, first part, and then we touched on the works of the flesh. Well, there's something about that, I mean, I think the Lord is stirring in my heart still, to still speak a little bit and have a conversation around some of those things some more. I don't know if that is possible. Maybe there might be people who could still be blessed by some of the Lord shedding more light around, things of that nature. And well, the way it's been inspired in my heart for today is just to speak generally about distractions, just gen the general idea of distractions from focus on the things of the spirit. I think based on some of the things I think we said on Saturday, I think it's clear that the enemy has different le levels of. Sorry, before I go ahead, I'll just quickly acknowledge our pastors who are here. Pastors in the house, Pastors Fessy Paul and his wife, Mommy B, Pastor Bukumi, Pastor Tovia, who were just in Saskatoon. I'm sure the meeting in Saskatoon was awesome. I've gotten some testimony about that. I thank God for what he did. Well, there, thank you for going, sir. Pastor Femi and Pastor Bimi. God bless you. Thank you for all that you do. The Lord will continue to strengthen you and increase you in Jesus' name. Amen. My lovely wife, thank you. God bless you. Thanks for everything. Love you so much. Yeah, so I will just want to touch on some things, some basic things, just about maybe dealing with distractions. The devil has different layers of his of activities that he, things he put in place to stop us from arriving at God's plan, or from prospering, from journeying well, journeying aright. The enemy knows that our help comes from how much we are able to sow, according to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse. In Galatians 6, was just speaking about, Paul was speaking about sowing to the flesh versus the spirit. Let's see. He was speaking specifically about giving, but it still applies to other things. In verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season so we shall reap if we faint not." So sowing here to the flesh Of course, you can sow your money, your resources to the flesh. In context here, he's speaking about when he says communicate unto him, it means give to someone who's teaching in all good things. That's taught to he that's taught in the word, let him communicate in other things. But I say that if you sow to your flesh, right? So sowing to the flesh is committing yourself, committing your time, your resources, your money, anything for the benefit of the flesh. Anything that you do primarily to the that's for the benefit of the flesh is sowing to the flesh. And what he's saying here is that the only thing you can reap from sowing to the flesh is corruption. That's what that means is that the only thing that the flesh can yield to you, the only thing the flesh will return back to you when you sow into it, is the flesh can only give back corruption. So, but if you sow into the spirit, but he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. So if you sow into the spirit, you reap life. You sow to the flesh, you love the flesh, reap corruption. The book of Romans 8 spoke about walking in the spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8 from verse 4, 1 and verse 4. Verse 1 spoke about no condemnation, not having condemnation, right? If you walk in the Spirit, let's see. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right? So, condemnation and corruption, we just saw corruption in the chapter we just read. Spoke about sowing to the flesh and you will reap corruption. Condemnation is the eventuality of corruption, right? If anything that is corrupted will eventually get condemned, right? So walk leads to a destination. So the destination of corruption is condemnation. So if we walk after the flesh, walking in the flesh means not just sowing once. When you're walking, it means you have a pattern or you've developed a habit of sowing to the flesh. So to walk after the flesh is sowing to the flesh habitually when the soul has formed habits of sowing into the flesh, that it doesn't matter how little that sowing is or how insignificant it might be, as long as it's become habitual, then it's become a walk. And if it's become a walk, every walk we have a destination, right? It means you are progressively going into something. Praise God. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul was also speaking about flesh versus spirit, right? He was speaking about walking as well, walking in the spirit versus walking in the flesh. Let's see, Galatians 5, let's see from verse 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13. It says, For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Not only, do not use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only not use liberty for an occasion for to the flesh, but by love serve others. So serve one another. By love, serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, but if you bite and devour one another, Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then it says, for the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, said of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, and envying one another. So this was the backdrop to chapter 6 that we read earlier. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So you see, walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit, you say that these two are contrary to one another. I say, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Right? You cannot do the things that you would do. So the things that you will do, or the things that God wants us to do, they are spiritually defined. And that's the problem. That's the problem with works of the flesh. The problem with works of the flesh is that works of the flesh has a way of grounding the soul and making one unable to climb into a place where you're able to sustain focus on the things of the Spirit, which God has designed for, you know, the spiritual man or the spiritual life for us to focus on. And so what I want to talk about today is just the concept of distractions. And distractions can hinder a soul. I mean, the Bible says that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Say, but I have come that you may have life, and you may have life more abundantly. Right? The enemy, the way he steals, you know, before he can kill, he must steal first. Right? And I know that one of the ways that the enemy steals is through, you know, works of the flesh, right? To steal from you is to be able to take something that is apportioned for a purpose that is profitable to you, and be able to subvert it, right? And take it and use it for something else. Now, you know, one of our greatest resource as a Christian, your greatest resource, just individually speaking, your greatest resource is your attention, right? When it comes to what can you do? You spoke about chapter 6 here spoke about sowing to the flesh, right? I read verse 7 again of chapter 6, Galatians 6, verse 7. It said, but not deceive, God is not mocked, that whatever a man sow, they shall reap. Then, before he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. All right. Now, we know that the most expensive thing that you can sow, right, is your attention, right? That's the most expensive thing you can sow. Because if you see, even if you say money, right, what do you actually use to get money? It's your attention, right? Your focus, like your what you focus on, what you are, your attention, your mind, your heart, your thoughts, and all of that. And that's what people sow to get money, to get external resource, and all of that. So when it comes down to the basic thing you have to sow, which is your attention, you can either sow it into the flesh or you can sow it into the spirit. So, and the enemy knows that. That's why to be a Christian, to be a wholesome Christian who will benefit fully from maybe the ministry of light, ministry of revelation, and all that, to be able to benefit fully, there's some kind of wisdom, this wisdom of how to sow, where to sow, skill around sowing, right? Or stewardship concerning your attention, concerning your time, concerning your focus, concerning the inward, your energy of your heart, of your soul. How you sow those things, they matter. So if one hasn't gained a lot of discipline, a lot of help and strength on being in this sowing and reaping, right, of these aspects I've mentioned, then that's where that the unfortunate situation of being surrounded by riches, being surrounded by abundance of things, abundance of revelation inside God's word, abundance of mentors. People who can help you, be resources, books. I mean, this is the most surrounded generation of all time. I mean, when I just started, I know people who are older than me, of course, can relate more to this, but myself, when I just started my walk with God, then, I mean, if you want to know God, you have to read. Of course, you have your Bible, but you have to actually literally physically go and buy books, right? To know anything, they have to go to the library, get books if you can't afford to buy, and resources were not as wide, open and available as they are now, right? But I remember back then, if you meet somebody who is knowledgeable, who is well read, who knows about things, you can even book time. I used to sometimes I can book time with somebody just to hang out with them, just to pick their brain, things like that, because we didn't have information. But right now we have information in your fingertips. Just type in any information you're looking for, you have it. So we are the most surrounded revelation, the most sorry generation, the most blessed generation. But we are now realizing that when it comes to profit, stature, even in just simple things like character, it's as if we have the most resources, but we are becoming more and more wretched in terms of fruit, bearing fruit, in our nature. So that will tell you that just having access to resources and things doesn't translate into making profit from them, right? There has to be wisdom. Wisdom must be involved in how to sow. And it comes down to this thing of sowing, wisdom on how to sow. So, because if you don't sow, you will not reap. It's whatsoever, say, God be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Right? In the Old Testament, was this Solomon that was saying, as long as this earth remaineth, that it says, seed time and harvest will never cease. So, it means that you can never break the law of sowing and reaping, no matter how much you do. Right, so we've surrounded ourselves with knowledge, information, all of that, but we have not the human nature of sowing to the wrong things has still not been broken. And so, the people, a generation who will be able to go ahead, go forward, into receiving all that God has given to them, right? To be able to make profit, right? To be a generation who is able to get it right, who's able to, get this wisdom, right? The wisdom of sowing and reaping that can never be broken. It's not about what's available to you. It's never about that. It's always about how you're able to transact, right? It's about, someone can have access to a market. You can give someone access to the stock market, right? And everything. And you are free, make any transaction you want, right? But that doesn't guarantee that person will have riches. It's in the wisdom of sowing and reaping, the wisdom of transactions. That's how what determines profitability. So that's something that, the Lord will have us to, wisdom the Lord will want to impart to us. And if there's some wisdom we can get tonight that will help us, that would be great. For this company, I know one thing for sure is that the Lord will want us to have great profit, to be extremely fruitful. Jesus thought about fruitfulness in the Gospels, right? We thought about the talents, right? Spoke about the talents. And that just being given talent doesn't mean that you will make profit out of it. That someone can have talent, but bury the talent because they are not willing to use it to do business in the right way to yield more. Praise God. So I pray the Lord will help us and He will grant us wisdom on how to make the best of our time, our effort, our resources, and the things that we have to do. I'm seeing, by God's grace, I'm seeing, by God's grace, the things I'm believing God for, trusting God for, is that for us, maybe over the next year or so, some of us, you are going to transact so much in the spirit that you will gain so much profit than you've gained in the last 5 years, just because you will have breakthrough in wisdom. They come into power. Great secret of sowing and reaping, how to reap from the spirit, how to gain access to come into profit, and how to come into prosperity. The Lord will give each of us wisdom in that regard. So one of the things, the areas of distraction that that we have is this area of sowing to the flesh and the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'll say this, that one of the main purpose, and most of us are young here, some of us are young married people, some of us are young, not yet married, but most of us are young, and something about single life. The Bible described that period of singleness about a season where, or is way Paul described it, he used the word unmarried. I think he was speaking specifically about an unmarried woman, but we know that such things, you can extrapolate them. It's not just about the woman, it's about that season, right? And let me just read it. I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 7, verse. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Verse 32. You said 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, "But I would have you without carefulness. That he that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between the wife and the virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world." Right, how she may please her husband. And this is this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. But ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. That's then verse 36. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if he pass the flower of her, if she pass the flower of her age, and needs to require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let him marry. But nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Praise God. So, I think what Paul is describing here is that season. That's that season of one's life when you are meant to learn to attend upon the Lord without distractions. To learn to attend to the Lord without distractions. I think I was mentioning on Saturday that that's one of the main things of your single life, right? That when someone is single, you're not yet married, right? The purpose of singlehood is actually to master something. There's something that you need to master. And that thing that you master, you will take it with you into marriage. And how you know that you master that thing when you are single is that there is a way you'll be able to be married and still be able to keep that attention to the Lord. That I think that's what he was speaking about here when he said, let's see if you go earlier. Praise God. If we go, let's go from verse 27. 27. See, are thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But these days, now, everything that you're reading here, okay, you have to read it in the context that Paul was dealing with a church, First Corinthian church, a church of babes, okay. So when Paul is saying, if you don't marry, it's okay. Oh, so let's read it again, verse 27. Are you bound to a wife? So it means if you've already married, everything you are seeing here, just add and you are carnal to it. That's the best way to understand it. If you think of it just generally, you miss a lot of things. And these verses have caused a lot of trouble for people. But you have to know the context. He's speaking to people who have issue with carnality and he's dealing with them. And, that's why I introduced the chapter as babes. So you guys are babes. You are manifesting things about babes. So what he's saying is, if you are already married to a wife and you are a carnal man, you are carnal, but you've already gotten married, then don't say, okay, I want to leave her, maybe go and deal with my carnality. You're already married, so don't be sick to be loose. That's not the solution to your problem. But say if you are not yet married and you are carnal, don't look for a wife. So what he's saying here is not telling you that a wife is evil and you should never marry, or that a wife is bad or something, or being married is less spiritual than not being married. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is dealing with specific situation in a church that had specific issues, right? Where you had both carnal married people and carnal unmarried people, right? Who had issues with devotion to the Lord, had a lot of distractions in their flesh, right? Who had not mastered sowing into the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and all of that. Those are the people he's referring to in this place. So what he's saying in verse 27 is that if you already ran into marriage without first becoming spiritual, don't say, I want to leave my marriage to become spiritual. Say, don't be loosed, right? You have to deal with that somehow. God will help you inside your marriage. So, but if you are already you are still in your singlehood when this letter is meeting you. You're not married. Calm down. Don't seek a wife. And he began to explain why he was telling them to calm down. See, but because if, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned still. Because you see, he's giving context here. If you marry and you have not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she had not sinned, nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh. Like I said, always add if you are carnal. So if you have not married yet and you are carnal, but you still go ahead in your carnality and you get married, you see, you have not sinned by marrying, but because you have not dealt with the flesh, right? You're going to have some troubles in the flesh, because somebody who is spiritual, who has become mature and has gotten married, they have a kind of capacity to do something. That's what he's speaking about in verse 9, in verse 29, sorry. So, but as I see that the time is short, that it remained that both they that have wives be as though they had none. When he says it as though they had none, he's talking about in their capacity for devotion, right? Their ability to be married and have a wife, but it's not affecting their devotion. It's because that, of course, takes some level of maturity that must have been developed. And the time to develop that mainly is while you are still single, to grow up and develop, master those things. And they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world, right, as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world is passing away. So this is what he's describing from verse 29 to verse 31 is the state of a spiritual person who has learned to live above distractions and now has gotten into another phase of life where you have more responsibilities. You are in more engagement with the things of the world. You are in more engagement with, but you are able to do it, not abusing it, right? Because of one has learned things and you have some stature. Say, but I would have you without carefulness, that he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord, right? That this is someone who is married. So when you are not married, that's when you have time to develop that aspect a lot. How you may please the Lord. For he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how you may please his wife. So there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. An unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, but that she might be holy both in body and in spirit. So he spoke about it both from the male and the female side of it. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, right, but that which is comely, that you may attend unto the Lord without distraction. So is that say, but if a man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need not require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. But he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, said, so that person doeth well. That doeth well. Thank you, Jesus. That person doeth well. So is verse 36 and 37 are describing two different people, right? One of them is has not mastered the distraction or mastered how to deal with the flesh, right? That's what he describes here in verse 37, as power over his own will. Power over his own will. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but have power over his own will. So when it comes to this aspect of how you behave toward your virgin, So what is when he says you're virgin, he's virgin, her virgin. So he's speaking of those people who are in that place, maybe where you already have the Lord has already led you to somebody already. Paul, there's so much wisdom in just in this small place that Paul was writing. Because Paul was writing to people in different categories, the married, those who are completely single, right? But then he's now addressing those who are in that place where you've already been led to somebody yet. But now someone might have a sister who knows this is my sister. I'm supposed to get married to her, but he's not able to maybe hold himself or is behaving himself uncomely towards her. Right? I said if she passed the flower, and I said if she's of now pass the flower and needs to require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. So if he goes ahead to marry her, that there is no problem concerning that. But it's clear that I believe that such a person might have troubles later in marriage. Right, because the real issue, and this is the wisdom I want us to see here, that Paul is tying issues in the flesh, weaknesses in the flesh, right? And he's using specific weaknesses that have to do with sexual behavior, sexual tendency. That's why he's speaking of relationship between a man and a virgin and things like that. Which is have to do with power over your sexuality. Or in verse 37, Paul is calling it tying it to power over his own will, and relating it to steadfastness in his heart, steadfastness in his heart, and then power over his own will. So these two things, steadfastness of heart, and power over will, he's showing it in here in the context of male-female relationship, sexuality, and all. But those are the two things that come into play when it in terms of comes to the ability to attend to the Lord without distraction, both in single life and in married life. And the purpose of single life, one of the main reasons for single life, when you are still single, is to develop these capacities here, right? To develop, first of all, steadfastness of heart. Steadfastness of heart just means capacity of focus on the right thing, like your ability to put your focus, your attention, to channel your attention, to channel your energy of your heart, your focus, right? To be steadfast in your heart. Your heart there refers to what the things you have affection for, like what you love, like what your desires are going for, like what pulls you, things like that, right? So he said that there is what he calls steadfastness in that regard. So this is a kind of discipline, is a kind of inward discipline that a person can have. And that is the same thing as having power over your own will, right? And those things are very, very key things that every believer needs to develop. Whether you develop, able to develop when you are young, if you are still young, you still have chance, you need to work on these things, because if we don't have these things, it can stop and hinder a lot, even in the spirit, right? It's difficult to go far in God, when one hasn't allowed the Spirit of God to train you. Now, everything I'm saying here is not, I'm not speaking about zeal or and all that, zeal, power. To train to develop steadfastness of heart and power over your will are things that are spirit trained, right? Grace developed, like it's through the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, that's how you develop these things. And the Holy Ghost knows how to do it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Father. So, So if it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter how young you are. We are seeing in the context of what Paul is saying here. If it doesn't matter how young, how old you are, anyone who has not been come to this area, you won't be able to stop the devil from stealing from you, from stealing away your time, from stealing seasons. The devil can steal a whole year from a person. He can steal 2 years, he can steal 3 years, he can steal 5 years, he can steal a month, he can steal the enemy. That's why the Bible speaks about redeeming the time, right? He said you should walk circumspectly, not as fools, right? He said we should redeem the time because the days are evil. So to redeem time means to be able to sow, use the time and sow it into the spirit, and sow it to be able to reap the things that we ought to be able to reap. Thank you, Jesus. So distractions fall into various kinds, various shades, arrays of distractions. Well, we know one main organ of distraction, area of distraction that the enemy uses a lot. The reason is because it's a common denominator for everybody. It's a common denominator. There's nobody that you can't, that this doesn't work for. Now, there are some people that the enemy cannot distract with highly spiritual things, right? Some of us now, the devil cannot distract you with some level of evil, because you've not, we have not, we are not, we don't have, we are not, we are not be developed in darkness enough to be distracted by like that. For example, there are some kind of ambitions that are bad. That some of us, the devil might cannot distract you. For example, some of us, the devil cannot distract you with maybe the ambition of maybe ruling the Western world, for example. Maybe that you will become the chief, out of all the rulers, that you'll be the one that they defer to. Because your heart is not dark enough, it's not mature enough in darkness to be distracted by that kind of ambition. But there are people who have journeyed enough in the world, right? Who have done all kinds of lust and pride and ambition, that's their own distraction, distracted with power at a level, with influence, which they have become, and things like that, very high things. So at that level, the devil can bring distraction to them that's customized for that. In fact, some of those people like that, their issues might not be works of the flesh that much, even though they will have their own version of it. But one thing that the enemy has that's a common denominator, that oftentimes is these things that have to do, that are tied to the flesh, or things that can be recorded in your body, that you can, things you can use your body to do, right? Because that's a common denominator with all men, because all men have bodies, all men have flesh. Every man is wearing flesh. And so the enemy can create vices, things in our flesh, habits in our flesh, things that we are used to, right? The enemy comes into our daily life, right? He leaves the conceptual realm, which is a lot of times is where we keep God, in that abstract realm concept and all that. But a lot of times the Lord is trying to come into our physical day-to-day life. We're not giving him enough chance. But the enemy comes here easily, and he knows what we do when you wake up from morning to night. He knows our pattern of behavior. He knows the kind of thing. And he's able to put things in our lives that he can turn them into habits, things, ways of behaving, right? Things that we do, we engage in physically with ourselves, either with our physical body or with our mind, which is our attention, right? And in those areas, able to put a snare. And it doesn't matter how spiritual you might be, if you are not living from the spirit, right? If you are not allowing the spirit, right? If you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, I think that's Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. That if you, by the spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8 verse 13, that if you live after the flesh, right, you shall die. But if you through the spirit mortify the deeds of the body, say that you shall live. You shall live. Yes. So there are a lot of things that the enemy does when it comes to distraction that he puts in the realm of what we do on a daily basis, right? And he kind of codifies it as a pattern of behavior, right? And those things, if not checked, and if our physical life, our natural life, what we are doing day to day, is not actually driven by understanding, but driven by the light that you have, you find that you can have so much light, but it's not being translated into how you live. Why? Because of habits, patterns, works that are in the flesh, works of the flesh, which can keep us down. And so these are how the enemy steals from us. So today I want to see how the Lord can just help us see a bit more into this. Let's see more of that list again, the works of the flesh. Manifest. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, so which are these: adultery, fornication. Like I said before, these ones are the more obvious ones. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. So this word fornication here, now we know what adultery means. Adultery is specific to it's specific to marriage. So the word adultery, to describe it a little bit, adultery means a sin against a marital union, against marriage. So there is that sin against marriage, which is adultery. Sometimes in the Bible, they can use the word fornication and adultery interchangeably. Sometimes. So the fornication means sins of a sexual nature, right, that is not ordained, right? So when sins that are, and the reason why they specifically mention fornication a lot of times in the Bible, right, where is the place where it was saying that every other sin which a man commits, a person commits, is outside the body, right? But the sin of fornication, which is all the works of the flesh and of a sexual nature, that they are sin against the body itself, because it's a sin where you are actually using your body for things. That's chapter 6, verse 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. It says, flee fornication. It says, for every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body, right? The word fornication here, if you check it, what's the root word of fornication? Root fornication actually is not just sexual intercourse, right? The word fornication has is all the array of anything sexual that is done, but it is done unlawfully, right? That's done outside the law, right, of that is given for the body at that season. So for a single person, of course, the exploration of your sexuality, anything that is an actual exploration of your sexuality, is not really falls under the category of fornication. So whether it's pornography or masturbation, right? Because what pornography does is that it's actually you are deliberately trying to awaken, you know, yourself sexually, right, in a way that is not the season for that, right? Every person, your sexuality doesn't belong to you. Your sexuality belongs to the partner which you're going to get married to. So if that person is not there, you're not married or anything like that, then you are going into an area that doesn't, it's not yours to explore, right? And when doing that, you are sinning against your body. That's what this place is saying. And fornication, so fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy. So all these works of the flesh, just to clarify them, they are things that you can do, and in doing them, your body can learn how to do them. Right? Your body can learn them. Your body can take them and take them as patterns of behavior. And they are things that can become habitual, right, in the body, in your body. So when you say idolatry there, it's among it. Witchcraft is among them. Hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, which is anger, strife, seditions, even heresies. Heresies. So you see, they are dividing these things in there are these things you see here in different categories. They are in categories of things which you do maybe physically, which is a very physical aspect, is if adultery, fornication, and all that. Then there are other aspects which you will use your brain and your feelings for. Your brain and your feelings for, right? Like idolatry, like witchcraft. Witchcraft here means it's manipulation. If you have manipulative tendencies, and oftentimes, the reason why people practice witchcraft, to be a witch, it doesn't mean that you have to, it's not just witchcraft, it's not just about flying and all those things that you see. Witchcraft is just, it's mainly manipulation, manipulative tendencies. And oftentimes this is done when you are, if you're manipulative, to get your way, to have your way, in something, but not being doing it with an honest thing, trying to control the behavior of others for your own profit. And that's just what witchcraft is. So all of these things, to do all these things that you see here, you have to sow your, there's some amount of way you must sow yourself into them. And there are things that you can learn and you can become very, very good at. And if you've learned some of these things, and I on what the weekend I mentioned about hatred, right? You can learn to hate, right? The mind can learn to hate your body, even your feeling, right? Hatred, like anger and strife. Strife. These are things a person can know how to strive. Someone can know how to strive, that you know how to strive. Strive means when you are, there's a contention for something and you're able to stand your ground. To have your way, all right. You don't shift, you don't bulge, right? You don't yield, that kind of thing. You don't yield when you don't easily yield. That nature of not easily yielding ground is a strife. It's a nature of strife. Someone that has strife, if you tell them something, before you even finish saying it. The mind, the body has already generated a reply already. There is a very quick response, right? Before you even land what you are saying, they've already responded. You see, it's like a, it's like it's a nature that can fight. Of course, the physical manifestation of this strife thing is like physically throwing blows and all that. So for some Christians, it can get to that point where, it can be actually physical, but it's not every time that strife. We are in the Western world, we have to be careful about throwing blows and all that because you can end up in the court of law and, there are a lot of consequences or you spend some time in a night or two in jail. But so in civilized world, you don't see that too much. But it's the nature of striving, The Bible speaks about those who strive with words, right? You can use words to strive. So when you see people who are quite argumentative, like argumentative nature, is a nature of strife, is a work of the flesh. When you can argue things, you just argue. That something the body can learn it, where you can't rest, you can't allow something to lie down or just relax. You can't sometimes the inability to just take the fall for the sake of peace, because oftentimes to maintain peace and to avoid strife, someone will have to be a bit contrite, right, and accept the blame, or accept being blamed, or accept being. But some there are some of us that in our nature we are codified by over time as a thing of habit. To strive, to stake your claim, to make your point, to state, that thing, and to push back, to fight back. So that this is a work of the flesh. Heresies, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and it says such alike now. So all of these things are contrary to the fruit. So the problem that these things cause is that they hinder you when it comes to inheriting the kingdom. So inheriting the kingdom here is not going to heaven, right? When it says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Inheriting of the kingdom of God just means profiting from the Spirit. Just it means profiting, means reaping, being able to profit from the things of the Spirit, right? And trying to inherit the kingdom is what we are all trying to do when you're listening to the word of righteousness, where you're trying to grow, you're trying to, is to inherit the kingdom of God, right? To inherit the kingdom of God means you must be able to subject to a kind of birth process of the Spirit, which involves leading of the Spirit, which involves sowing into the Spirit, right? Which involves being born, like Jesus was teaching about the kingdom to Nicodemus, right? Except you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. And he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So this water and of the water is the water of the word, of course, and then the Spirit, right? Spirit of truth. You must be born of those things. So those are all engagements that you must make spiritually to be able to profit. Now, what they are saying here is that it might be hearing the word that pertain to these things, having the knowledge, the information that pertain to these things. But if while you are hearing word, you are listening to messages, you are doing all those things, but you are doing all these works, like you have all these things in your life, all these works of the flesh are being engaged in. You have some level of engagement, and these things are still sitting in your life. He said that because of these things being there, if you are doing these things, they are powerful enough, they are significant enough that they can stop you from inheriting the kingdom. The inheritance means to bear fruit, right? To actually the life. That's the context of verse 22. 22 now began to say, but the fruit of the Spirit, right, is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ's, right? Anybody who has become Christ means anybody who you find with the nature of Christ, or that have borne the fruits of the Spirit, right? You know that the reason why they are bearing fruit, or they are becoming fruitful, is because they have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They've crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. So all these things, what I feel in my heart is the Lord wants to awaken us to some things in our life. Little, the Bible speak about little foxes that spoil the vine. When they say the vine, the vine is a ground, a place like where vines have been planted to bring forth fruit, right? Yeah, a place where vine has been planted, and there's an expectation that fruit should should come forth. Take us the foxes, right? That's Song of Solomon 2. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. See, for our vines have tender grapes. The grapes of the vine are tender. And if you unleash those foxes, and they are very little, each one is little, but just have enough of them and they spoil the vine. They will go from one vine to another, just damaging the fruit. They are like a tiny army that fight against fruitfulness, right? So there's a way that we have to be, the Lord has to help us to be wise against all these things, all these things. Now you see the concoction of these things together, they are the things that cause, that hinder prosperity and fruitfulness. Let's say in a company, in a people, right, who are journeying, who the Lord has blessed, with so much resources of the word and of the spirit. Right, so these are the things to watch for, and for each of these things, some people are more anointed than others. Right? They are more, sometimes they are more, can be more anointed in them, right? In sowing, like this one called envyings. So you mean that there are different kind of envy, right? Even envy have variations. Some people envy money, some people envy good looks. Some envy anointing. Some envy friendships. Right? Some envy. There's any, you can envy anything. Right? So, was it James? I was asking, where do strife and all these things come from among you? Right? Envying and strife. James chapter 4, verse 1, said that from whence come wars and fightings? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Your lusts that war in your members. You lost and have not. You kill and desire to have. So this word kill here might not be full blown like shooting somebody or something like that. Killing, there are different kind of killing. There's what you call assassination of character. That's one of the easiest way to kill a person. You can kill a person. They are still walking around, but you have just killed them. How do you kill them? You have killed the memory. Their reputation, who they are in front of others, you killed it. And so when nobody can actually see them anymore, the way they really are, right? They only see them in the light of the things you have said. You've just murdered a person to a great degree. And to resurrect what you've killed is not very easy. So there are different ways that this murder is actually a murderous spirit. There are Christians who don't physically kill, but they have murderous spirits. That they would rather a person not no longer exist around them in that form. If they could make that person go away, they would. So they wouldn't do it physically, but there are other ways you can do it, like speaking evil against the person, saying something, mischaracterizing them, assassinating their character, these things like that. Those are bad things. And all those things, they come from lusts. Sometimes they can be done way more subtly. Well, I'm not really saying, I'm just telling you, this, that, but you have just killed somebody or something about someone inside the mind of somebody else. So we have to be careful about these things. See, for come they not hence, even of your lusts that were in your members. He said, you lost and you have not, you kill and desire to have. Oftentimes, when someone kills, it's because of a desire for something. Even when you perceive that somebody's presence or the way they are, their manner of being or something, is in a hindrance of something that you want, something you desire or something. When you desire, you can easily, you rather assassinate that person character-wise, right? And just to have your way, right? Some of this killing involves killing friendships, killing associations, right? Someone is close to someone, you no longer want them to be close to that person. You know what to do, you know what to say in a very holy manner. These are evil things. You lust and have not, you kill, and desire to have. See, I'm sorry that I'm saying all these things. I just feel the Lord wants to cleanse some things if there are any traces of them. I know most of us are not like this. Praise God, but I don't know. I'm just obeying the Lord. So you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You fight and war. Yet you have not because you ask not. Praise God. So the Lord will help us. Yeah, so all of those things are these works of the flesh, works of the flesh that they have to, you know, there are different aspects of works of the flesh. Now, some of the things I mentioned to us are more obvious, like you can easily just catch them. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And then there are some things that are less obvious like that. And there are things that are even more nuanced, that are more in the realm of things that are not illegitimate, right? Like what you spend your time doing, how you invest your time, your attention. Like some of us might have too much investment into, you know, entertainment, right? And entertainment these days has taken different, entertainment has taken different shape, different fashions, different kinds of entertainment. Some people don't really watch TV anymore. They don't have appetite for that. That's too, it's not interesting. But the other things about, you know, your devices, your phone, your internet, you know, social media, right? All that things that seem so, they seem so trivial, but they can rob one from profiting, right? From the spirit. Can rob one from profiting from the spirit. So we'll have to, the Lord will help us and give us grace to more capacity to sow more, into the spirit, to sow more into the spirit, sow more into the spirit, so that we will of the spirit, will of the spirit reap life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Create a manna, see it a manna, create a manna, see it a manna, create a manna, get a manna, create a manna, see it a manna, create a manna, create a manna, see it a manna, create a manna, cramet a manna, paramat a manna, seriet a manna, perit a manna, stefret a manna, estefret a manna, sestefret a manna. Es the frita mana, caeta preta mana, est de sontre pretata mana, sesto prieta, asusta preta, sesosta preta, encata, 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 acata, encata, encreta, saporeta, 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 sepreta, espret, eprat, empreta mana, ecata mana, enscation, esetion. A cation, a satio, a catio, a catio, a catio, a metakilo, sabitakilo, a mensakilo, mensaprido, menstecredo, menstepredo, an imperatus, a capresta, a cambresta sea, and cambresta sea, and cambresta sea, in Cumbria is to see, in Cumbria to see Matisse. So, missing to free, miss a free, as a free, guess a free, set a free, set a free, as a free, set a free, set a free, a to pre, a set a pre, a cut a pre, a cut a pre. Thank you, Jesus. Tomorrow, cock a fee. Tomorrow, not cut at a fee. Come around to cut at a fee. I need to cut at a fee. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somata, Anita, Kanata, Anita, Kanita, Kamita, Kalike, Kanike, Kanika, Kalika, Kanika, Parika, Saseka, Zuzeka, Saseka, Maseka, Saseka, Maseka, Mazeka, Maseka, Makeka, Mantes, Masesano. Everyone else is on the table. Thank you, Jesus. So thus say the Lord to someone, so saying that I'm bringing to you keys of for deliverance, for breakthrough. Lord said to you, I'm showing you a way out, I'm giving you a way out, a door out. Help you. Showing you a way to walk out, to walk out. To walk out of cycles of hindrances, to defeat limitation and hindrances in your walk. I'm delivering to you a way of wisdom. I'm giving you an exit point, a point to walk out of flesh, to walk into spirit, a way into liberty. I'm ministering to you, helping you, giving you wisdom way. A wise way out, a way of wisdom, a way of wisdom to become unshackled from the flesh, to become unshackled from the bondage of the flesh, of carnality and of corruption. I'm giving you ascension. I'm bringing you, I'm setting you to set your feet on high, to deliver you out of a miry clay. Out of the places wherein your feet has been stuck, to lift you up and set you upon a rock, to make give you a rocky plain to walk on, to walk even on solid ground, to walk on higher ground, elevating your soul, help you, even by the power of the Spirit, for wisdom, to bring to you visitation of wisdom, of breakthrough, to break free, to break free. Of out of habits, out of habitual cycles, limiting cycles, to give you wisdom of a breakthrough. Lord, say I'm half come committed no sikifeno, and se fiat amato fis to say, as a pharmatusia, as to se preta. I want to share wisdom with you. I will share wisdom with you. I will share wisdom. I will share wisdom. I will share wisdom. I'll share wisdom. I'll give you a breakthrough, said the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. The Lord say to you that the way out of the way out. Amen. So this, I'll just continue to share what I'm sharing, but I believe the things I will say will minister specifically to the person or the persons to whom that word of knowledge apply. The Lord say the way, the wisdom way is the wisdom of sowing. It's through sowing. You have to learn how to sow. Learn how to sow. You can't. Lord said to tell you that as long as the earth remaineth, that seed time and harvest will never cease. So you cannot stall you can't stall the law of sowing. You don't fight, you don't purely fight against sowing to the flesh just by exercising restraint alone or just by sheer will. That doesn't work. that you have to just, all you need to do is very easy. You just need to switch where you sow. You must sow. You have to become more active in sowing to the Spirit. The Lord said that the more active you become in sowing to the Spirit, the less active you become in sowing to the flesh. All right? That you need to learn more, to have more skill of sowing, ways to sow into the Spirit. That I'll begin to show you and teach you practical terms on how to sow into the Spirit, ways to sow to the Spirit. I'll begin to show you, to interpret your heart, what things to do in the Spirit that will have the opposite effect of the things that have held you bound and have kept you down. I will give you the secret. Secret for with the Lord said, with every temptation, there is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. Every temptation is a way of escape. Way of escape. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Way of escape. Say that there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So the Lord wants to assure you, first of all, that if you are having a temptation in something, right, that don't be defeated, that there's no temptation you have that you don't have ability for. But with that temptation, so if temptation is coming to you, be guaranteed that with that temptation, there is a way of escape to it. So you just need to open your heart to wisdom, to the Spirit of God, right? Some of these things are temptations that are in your nature faster than you. Some of these are more obvious works of the flesh, some of us. One of those things that constantly keep you in cycles, the sexual sins, the masturbation, the pornography, all of those things. And some of us, it's not those things. There are other kinds of works of the flesh and other things, which are things that are faster because they are embedded within your flesh. Responses like those things of strife. I mentioned strife, hatred, right? Those witchcraft, those kind of reactions, those kind of things, that there are ways to kill them. And the Lord says that there are ways to escape them. There are ways every time that the temptation arises, that there's a way to escape. And when you take that way of escape long enough, frequently enough, you will break into a shift. That habit will break, those habitual nature and responses. But the Lord said that you must never give up. You should not give up. That I will always show you a way of escape. So the Lord will help us on how to sow into the Spirit, to sow into the Spirit daily, right? Because you must sow daily into the Spirit. There's some of us, the Lord will need us to spend more time in the Word, spend more time praying. Thank you, Jesus. Some of us have learned some bad habits, even around spiritual things. And some of those habits include maybe you can be in a meeting, but you are not really listening well to the word. Because if you are not listening to the message intently, it means you're not really sowing your heart into the Spirit. So, and what that will mean is that you might be in a meeting. Imagine spending 4 hours in a meeting, but you're not going home refreshed, right? You're not going home refreshed because of some of those times are patterns of, thought, or there are places maybe your mind goes to, your heart goes to, your consciousness goes to, distraction, things like that. Sometimes it can be either the message or sometimes during the prayer, during the worship, right? Sometimes when say pray, and sometimes we are not praying, sometimes because we have not learned the skill of sowing, right? At any time they say pray is a time to sow into the Spirit, right? At any time you are sowing into the Spirit, you are redeeming time, right? You're redeeming time, you're taking time, because if you are not in the spirit, you spend your time in the flesh doing something else. So some of us need to learn new habits. The Lord will give us fresh habits on how to move a lot of our spiritual activity and carry it well with our bodies. Our bodies means how to sow your mind, to sow your consciousness, how to use your whole being, right, to and the flesh to sow the body, to sow the mind, to sow your consciousness into the spirit, right? How to worship God. So these are some of the things the Lord will train you, right? These are just simple things, but if you're having issues with your big ones of the flesh, the way I described them, the obvious ones, less obvious ones, these are some of the sure ways to break free of them, right? You learn how to, sometimes some of us, you need to learn how to worship God more, right? Worship God more, maybe sing songs, worship songs, until you feel the worship songs. There are some things, amen, that we did. I don't know if people do them again, but those things help a lot. I think that it's possible that the fact that we have so much devices, we have so many electronics, so we can outsource a lot of things that we normally do, you should do for yourself. Like maybe when you constantly have access to recorded music, for example. Like growing up as a Christian, I didn't have constant access to recorded music. I didn't have always internet with me, right? I didn't have like an iPod and all of that. Back then, even if you had a computer, you have to literally download. It wasn't easy to download songs and things like that. So you have to listen, you have to worship God by yourself. So those of us who are listening to me now, all of us who are listening to me, I want to ask you, how many of you don't, without your phone being on, you're not playing music on YouTube or iTunes or anything, it's off. Nothing is playing on YouTube. It's just you silent, singing. You can sing to the Lord for 1 hour. Just sing to Him, worship God. Just sing to the Lord, singing to Him with your heart. Your heart is, you are singing, you are listening in your heart to the lyrics of the song, like what your mouth is saying to Him, your heart is saying to Him. Now you sing to the Lord. So those are the things. I don't see how it's easy to have. We're talking about sowing. Sowing. Sowing means that you are actually you're sowing your attention. That's how you sow into the spirit. When you use your mouth to sing, your heart to sing, right? It's not the same thing as singing along to a song. When you are singing along to a song, you are enjoying the melody that somebody else has made to the Lord. Like someone else is making that melody, is generating that thing. You are just enjoying it, but it's different. There's the way your heart should make its own melody. Say, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Those moments where the sweetness is coming from your own heart. You don't have to be a musical genius for that. It's more of your heart. What you are saying to the Lord is making your heart sweet. Right, you're enjoying your fellowship, right, to the Lord. Like it's like just imagine. I don't know. Sorry, this is a funny example, but I'm just trying to get my point across, please, because what the Lord is saying to me is so important. I have to find a way to make you understand. So imagine like you are in a relationship, whether you're a boyfriend or your girlfriend, or maybe a husband and a wife in a relationship, and then you never say anything to that person that's from your heart. You never tell them from your heart. Describe to them how you love them, how what they are doing to you, right, is, real, and what, how much you care about them. You don't write them a poem, right? But every time you want to speak to them, maybe you open the internet, or maybe you go to ChatGPT and say, "Write me something nice." So that's what kind of thing people are doing now. Yeah. But anyway, maybe you go to the internet and you just read something and then you say it to that person every single time. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not bad. For example, you can take a song that someone already sang and sing it for your wife. That's fine. But I mean, it's not, imagine that you're going and you're never bringing something real in, that relationship will not be solid because that person will never get to know you really, or you never get to know the other person. Bonding and intimacy happens when there is genuine, communication that comes purely from your heart. And in a relationship with God, if you really want to grow spiritually and to become, let the Lord become tangible and all of that, you want to really know the Lord, you should have a lot of moments in your life where you do such things, right? Where you're just spending time with the Lord, right? Alone, without the devices, without other things, right? You're just in the Word of God, fellowshipping with the Lord, right? For fellowship and for communion. Of course, I'm not speaking against other things like listening to messages. And of course, I'm a very huge, proponent of that. And that's how guidance comes to your life. But it's not everything about that's about being guided. When you listen to a message to get guidance, you go to a meeting and to get guidance, but you at the end of the day, you are still in a relationship with the Lord, with the Spirit of God. And that part is very, very vital. It's what makes everything else, put everything else in context. If you're not, your heart is not touching the Lord significantly every day, and you're constantly hearing message, 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 the messages you're hearing will lose context to your life. There's no way it will ever mean anything real to you. It will always seem as if someone is talking about some other person, and it doesn't really concern you. That's how messages will be. Imagine talking about the Father, the Son, and Christ, and all. They will sound like one person is talking about another person that they know. Pastor, it will be as if pastor is talking about a God, someone he knows, but it's not going to be personal if one is not investing, So when you speak about sowing into the Spirit, right, it's talking about what your heart, that thing about your attention, must be done. Now, when we are doing that, that's where the power to kill the works of the flesh comes from. Because it's about what you are sowing your consciousness into, what you are sowing your mind into. Right? Listening to just revelation, revelation, revelation will not stop one from committing works of the flesh, because it's not enough to make the will strong and to make the heart steadfast towards God. Right? To have power over your will doesn't come without exercise of your will that touches your flesh, your body. To exercise your will with respect to your person, it comes in those moments when you are able to make your person, your flesh, do the things they don't want to do, right? Contrary to the feeling. For example, you don't feel like reading your Bible for 30 minutes, 1 hour. But there's a way the Spirit of God can give you grace to do that, and you yield to grace to do it. And when you do that, right, the will, your will for righteousness becomes stronger, right? And in doing so, over time, when temptations come, right, because you are well practiced in sowing into the Spirit, right, it's easy to deny the flesh in what the flesh wants to do. All right. So there are wisdom. And then when you, the more you sow into the Spirit, right, the more you have an identity. One of the strong things that makes you not waste your energy and sowing into the flesh is a strong sense of identity in the Spirit, right? Your identity in the Spirit must be so strong that there are some things you just can't do. Not because you're a religious person, but you just can't do them because that's just not who you are. You can't just see yourself. You can't just do some things that you almost feel like you're having an out-of-body experience to do some things because your identity is so rooted in the Spirit, and there are some things that are not that's so far away from you. You can get to a point where you just can't hate. There's no room in your person or in your frame, in your flesh, to carry feeling of hatred. Why? Because you are so used to sowing into the spirit that in the realm of the spirit, your identity in the spirit is such, is a different person entirely who doesn't have the trace of those kind of feelings and those kind of emotions, right? But if you're not sowing into the spirit, it's not easy to, you can't build identity in the spirit, right? If you're not sowing into the spirit personally, you will have an imposter syndrome, right? Every time they are preaching revelation to you or the word of God is being opened, you will not be able to take that word as your own thing because of you are not showing up personally in the realm of those things, right? So it's not just about hearing the ministry of revelation. Your being must become, must be participating in the thing, in those things, in the worship, in praise, right? God has blessed us, you know, with a lot of, you know, songs of worship, right? And all this was like Pastor Larry's song and all those songs. Many of us know those songs, and what we do is we sing along to them. We listen with the lyrics, and we sing along to them. We have an entertainment slash intellectual experience with those songs, which is wow, nice lyrics, wow, deep, nice, wow, that's true, so scriptural, and then we enjoy the beat of it. So it's like an entertainment slash intellectual experience. But some of those songs, we've not taken them deeper into a play heart experience, right? Some of those songs, to have a heart experience, you must have sang them by yourself alone. You're not alone. There's no music, nothing. It's just singing them to God. Sing them, sing them. Something happened. Now, the things I'm describing to you, very practical. There was a time when, in school, when the Lord just told me to take a hymn book home, just one of the hymn book from church. That because I opened the hymn book one day, I saw the lyrics. So, you know, those hymns of the old people who wrote in those days, those men were holy men. They had, you know, they had a practical relationship. So they wrote hymns from, you know, they were not just poets. They wrote hymns out of experiences with the Lord. And so I took the hymn book home, and those hymns, many of the hymns, I didn't even know the tune to them. I had to make up my own tune, my own music to them. Singing the lyrics, sometimes broken, just the words, you know, no music, nothing, just singing to the Lord. The kind of depth of encounters you have, you know God in a way that's beyond words, in a way that is deep, that's meaningful, right? And when you know God at that level, then you don't need someone to come and start convince you that word of righteousness is real, word of righteousness is correct, word of righteousness is this, is that. You don't see word of righteousness as maybe Pastor Jeff's word, Reverend K's word, all those things. The reason why we have those issues is because the being that we are talking about, we don't even fellowship. We are more alive in the flesh. We are more awake in the flesh and things, but we have not had, we've not brought our person. Right, that those things, they do not be drunk with wine. Ephesians chapter 5, wherein is excess. That's the wine of distractions that intoxicate the flesh. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but we be filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit, right? You begin to sing, praise God. Ephesians 5. Drunk, be filled with the Spirit, verse 17, sorry, verse 19, sorry. You speaking to yourselves, right, in psalms and hymns and then spiritual songs, and it says singing and making melody in your heart. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, right? You must. The secret to dealing with the works of the flesh is very simple. You must feel God in your flesh. You must feel God. The feeling of God in your flesh should be your normal feeling. Right? If you're not feeling God in your flesh, you'll be having other impulses. You'll be desiring, you know, at an impulse, you can desire movies, but at an impulsive level. You can desire going to the mall as if it can be in your flesh. Those things can sit in your flesh. You will not feel okay until you've done it. You'll feel sad if you have not done those things. If not, maybe there's some kind of food. You must eat jollof rice or you must eat one food. There's something. Those are works of the flesh. You're not supposed to be that way. You should not become under the power of anything. That's what Paul said, that all things are lawful for me. Not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but I will never be brought under the power of anything. Nothing should have, there should be nothing that registers in my flesh that I need to have you. I must have you. Right? Those are, that's the sign. It's not good. The only thing that must register in your flesh should be the spirit, should be God. And this is not some words. These are not words. These are real stuff. If you want to walk in the spirit, you have to sow yourself into the spirit in this regard. So this is the key. The Lord has given keys to some people today. I know most of us are above all these things I'm saying, but I just believe I've ministered to one person or two people or something, and the Lord wanted me to do that tonight. The Lord will give you breakthroughs. The Lord will help you. Will give you breakthrough into the life of the spirit. There are some of us who we already have so much resources, even internally in our heart. The word of God has been sown greatly. We have a great level of understanding to a degree, maybe of the precepts of the word and all, that we just need some kind of transition, right, to register. So a build up of identity in the spirit so that the things we know can become effectual. And you're going to have, there's something called a quantum leap. There's a principle of a quantum leap that can happen to you. You can become a giant in the spirit in a short time if some of the little foxes that spoil the vine can be taken off, right, and can be dealt with. And the Lord will give wisdom to everyone to deal with that. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name. We give you praise and we worship you. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Feste cabro nifador. Kafanat and Libredor. Sepanet and Libredor. Akali Messiah. Okana Messiah. And Creator. Separata. Samarada. 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 Asamarada Modovenacano. Antosia. 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 Antonamasia. Unkamatia. Unkamata. Thank you, Father. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today. Thank you because you've blessed us. Thank you, Lord. You've given help. You've given insight. You've shared your words. Lord, you have, Lord, released, Lord, grace into our hearts. Lord, Spirit of God, you will bring more wisdom. You'll bring more help, oh God, on the wisdom of sowing into the Spirit, of how to sow more into the Spirit, Lord, in a very, very real way, in a very practical way. Father, Lord, you will give to every one of us in the name of Jesus. But I'm asking, Lord, for grace, for more tangibility, more, Lord, of establishment of our identity, Lord, in the Spirit, that we'll have a stronger identity in the Spirit and a weaker identity in the flesh. Father, Lord, you will raise our appetites, oh God. You will raise, Lord, grace, oh God, the ability, oh God, to yield even into the things of the Spirit so that we will profit, oh God. Thank you, our Father, that you will launch us into a great season of profiting, Lord, as we sow into the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give all the glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's share the grace and fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen, amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. All righty. I'll talk to you guys next week, okay? Next week, we're talking about something.